I mean, I loved it. I actually asked her for permission to sing it. And she's the only person in 27 years I asked permission to borrow their stuff, but since we knew her personally, I thought maybe we'd better. Amen. Appreciate the prayers about the motorhome. I go through this and I'm reading, every affliction will just, and I'm thinking, I'm convicted because I was boo-hooing earlier. We had a guy come out to look at it, and he wasn't qualified. And he was honest enough that he wouldn't even charge me for driving here, and most of them wouldn't. He says, I can't fix it. I can't do anything. And he said, I said, well, let me give you some gas money. And he said, just make it a donation. So I got to give him a track, tell him how God saved me, a really, really good guy over in Fulton. I'll leave his information with you for other people that come through. He said, you ever call me, anything else I could probably fix. But the slide-out thing is a pretty intricate thing. So I wasn't going to mention it. The pastor did. I appreciate the prayers. But you know what I've learned in being in prayer request time in our own church, and there's people that are fighting for their lives. There's people with cancer. There's people, and I don't want to bring up things like vehicles and stuff. And not that I don't want the prayer, but like you say, you've already got a couple people on your list. There's a lot of serious things. Christians are going through some stuff, and amen. So, but take your Bible tonight and go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 13, I think, maybe. And let's start, yeah, did I say 13? That's actually what I meant. It says this, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Verse 14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Father, we do come to you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded, God, for some people on my heart back home that need prayer for the requests that were made tonight. God, please intercede, God, according to thy will. And Father, I pray now specifically that you would help me say the things that I believe you once said. My heart's desire is to be a help and a blessing here, and so I'm going to fail unless you help, and I know it. Help us to listen with our hearts and not just put a flag up, something gets a little too close to some issue that does need spiritual attention. That's kind of how we do it, and we need to yield ourselves to your Spirit. Pray your Spirit would have free reign here tonight, and that you'd bless this assembly, everything about it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Verse 13, it says, today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Somebody's talking about doing business. Amen. You know, a major topic these days is the economy. And I don't spend hardly any time paying attention to the news, but that's where the rubber meets the road. I mean, you work to make money so that you can provide for your family, things like that. Some people get that way out of control and work three jobs so they can have stuff they didn't need, and then they use that as an excuse not to be able to come to church. That's not what God's talking about when it says, when the Bible talks about a man should work. Amen. But it is important to work, and the economy is an important thing, and the reality of food prices and gas prices and mortgage rates and et cetera are a big deal. I understand that. Many businesses are struggling these days, and some are actually going under. And we read about that. I was, they tell me there's a worker shortage. And I remember it wasn't too many years ago there was a job shortage. But now there's job, but there's a worker shortage. You used to go to a restaurant, and if there was a half-hour wait, it is because a lot of people wanted to eat there. Now you can go to a restaurant that only have a third of its dining room open and be on a half-hour wait list because they don't have staff. I said, where do people live? How do people live if they won't work? If they don't work? Amen? And somebody told me, well, the government pays them, sends them money. And I thought, how do I get my name on that list? They don't send me money. Amen. That was the only joke of the night. If you missed that, you're not going to be. No, amen. You know what I'm talking about. I was down in Pensacola one year, a couple years ago, I guess. And I'm leaving, coming down Davis Highway, getting on Interstate 10, heading east. And on the, that'd be the southeast side of the highway is the Coca-Cola bottling plant. And there's a big sign right there on the corner before you turn on the interstate, now hiring. And Coca-Cola, I don't know for sure, but it probably is it's definitely an established company. So they're hiring. But the thing about it is right under that sign, right on the corner where you turn to get on the ramp, there's a guy sitting on a backpack with a sign saying, I need work. And you couldn't miss it. You're looking at him, and it's right over his head. I'm thinking, hey, dummy, turn around. Amen. Things are really out of order. But there is a business that doesn't seem to be suffering in this day and age at all. And we're going to call it the sinning business. The sinning business tonight. Liquor stores are still thriving. It amazes me in some parts of the country I go to, there'll be liquor store after liquor store after liquor store. I mean, how much drinking is going on in that area? And what's really interesting is when they were shutting churches down, somebody determined, what was that, about 4 years ago, that liquor stores were essential. What does that tell you? I tell you what it tells you. It tells you who their God is. Amen. And liquor stores, and you know what? I remember when I was a lost man, I went to Las Vegas casinos, and I wasn't even a big gambler. It was just bright lights and a lot of action. And then a couple years later, they legalized gambling up in South Dakota, and I was up there at Sturgis and went to Deadwood, and there was a casino. And I knew about Atlantic City, but I never cared for New Jersey much, and I never went there. But I'm going to tell you something, man. Then all of a sudden, oh, there's an Indian reservation, and there's a casino downtown Cincinnati, Ohio, and I mean, we got that from the Indians 300 years ago. There's casinos springing up everywhere along the side of the road. You'll see a truck stop, and it's a casino. I'm not talking about in Nevada. I'm talking about in Oklahoma. And so even though businesses are suffering, my point is there's some that are definitely thriving. Adult bookstores. We see them on the side. You spell that P-E-R-V-E-R-T. That's what those places are, those pornos. And you go by them and there's cars in the parking lot. Amen. They're more prevalent than ever. I'll tell you what saddens me. I was in North Carolina, Bible Belt, going down Interstate 40 a few years ago, and here's a picture advertising a go-go bar. I guess maybe if you're not familiar with that term, maybe you've heard the word strip club. And here's a billboard with a girl's face on it, nice-looking, regular, young, early 20s girl all dolled up, and they're advertising that this girl and others like her are taking off their clothes at their bar. And the thing that broke my heart, Brother Wallace, I drove down the road, I went, here we are in North Carolina, and that girl's somebody's daughter. And what it must be like for her mom and dad to drive up and down that road, and the friends and the people they grew up with. I'm going to tell you something. There's a business that is not suffering in the day and age in which we live, and it's the sinning business. I'll tell you another business that's not really doesn't seem to be suffering. Well, we're just going to sum it up by calling them mega churches. I drive around, I go to little places on the backside of nowhere. That didn't offend you that I said that, did it? Little places, little outposts that God's got scattered all over America where people come together and believe the book and are rejoicing that they're on their way to heaven. But on the way to the little church that's having me in, I'll go buy some big old big old cathedral looking thing with a building project and boasting thousands of members. And I've been in communities where there have been big churches like that, and I've never seen a tract anywhere, never been offered a tract, never been invited to church, never seen anybody on a street corner preaching. But the mega church business seems to be thriving. Radio and television broadcasts, how-to book after how-to book, but making very little, possibly no difference. America is far from the founding intention of our founding fathers as a Christian nation. We've come a long way, the wrong way. And I'm going to tell you why it is. If it looks, in part at least, it looks to me like, as I read through Revelation and get the description of the last day's church, and this, that's the age we're in, it looks to me like maybe one of the biggest problems in our country that's not being discussed is the fact that so many Christians are in the sinning business. And that's why we're not making the impact that we could. I'm glad some people are still holding to the truth. Somebody came to a jail cell 33 years ago and told me the truth. And you're in here tonight on a Monday night. Somebody told you. Amen. So it ain't a wash, and I refuse to be part of the Laodicean church, even if I'm part of the church age. I know what I need. I need Jesus Christ. But I want to preach it tonight about on this thought. It's time. Dr. Don Green was an old school man of God out of Michigan that I had the privilege to get to know in his latter years. He might have been sick. He was really old when I met him, maybe in his 60s. Wow. Amen. I know. I'm 60s. Are you kidding? I went to Bible Baptist one time, and Dr. Ruckman said to me, he said, it would have been 11 years ago, Dr. Ruckman said to me, Spurgeon, how old are you? And I said, just turned 60, Doc, because my birthday is like a week before the blowout every year. And I said, just turned 60, Doc. And he looked at me, he's about 88, and he looked at me and said, oh, to be 60 again. So anyway, sometimes you might feel like you're getting old, but, you know, there's probably some saint of God that's been around a little longer than you. Amen. Amen. So, amen. Dr. Green in his 80s would say this. He preached the message that it's time for Christians to get out of the sinning business. I know my wife's heard him say that a few times. He's probably looking right at her, or was it me? I don't know who it was. But I tell you, I believe that it's time for us to do some closer inspection and make sure we're not guilty of being in the sinning business. I'm not talking about not being saved. I'm not talking about not believing the book. I'm not talking about being a troublemaker in your church or loving Jesus. But I'll tell you what, this thinking flesh is deceitful. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so that's what I'm going to try to preach on tonight. Problem with that is this. That's obvious. Yeah. Here's the problem. Every one of us lives in an earthly vessel that doesn't want out. Doesn't want out of the sinning business. Amen? It was born into it. Psalm 58 and verse 3 said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking lies. Them cute little babies. That's right. Hold me, feed me, and you pick them up. They didn't want nothing. They're laughing at you under their breath. Amen. Little liars. Amen. And you say, you're calling my kid a liar? Well, yeah, and here's why. Because they inherited it from you. Amen. Because we got a sin nature. It's passed down from generation to generation. I can't even look at my wife. She's so into this grandma thing. I don't want her to, you know, give me the evil eye while I'm preaching. Because it affects me. Amen. Again, we're sinners by birth. Let me tell you something. There are no monkeys. I don't care what they might have taught you at school or whatever you Google, but there are no monkeys on your family tree. But I'll tell you this, there's plenty of sinners. Amen. So, number one, if you're saved, let me just remind you, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And a penalty of sin is eternal death in a lake of fire. And if you're saved here tonight, you've been delivered from that. You don't have to worry about the penalty of sin. I saw a sticker, kind of a bumper sticker I got when I first got out of jail, and it said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Now, if I ever saw anything like that in my previous 37 years, I didn't even remember because I wouldn't have had a clue what it even meant. But after I got saved and got out of jail, got out on bond, I didn't have to come to church very long before I heard it that Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again, and I'm getting it, you know, because I went to a church. God put me in a church that stood fast on that book, and I got grounded real fast. I had such a late start, I had to get brought up to speed quick. I was like everybody else, get saved young and, you know, cocky, and I learned some verses, and I said, preacher, what should I do? He said, sit down and shut up, man. People, you need to learn what God's got to say, you know. Everybody gets saved, especially out of rough life, seems to think they want to go into the ministry to help others. And I'm the same way. And the only way you're going to help anybody is find out what that book says. Because people don't need your opinion. They need to know what God said. Amen. Amen. So born once, died twice. I knew what it meant. I buried 41 of my own guys when I rode with the motorcycle clubs over 15 years. I've been to more funerals. At that point in time, when I first got saved, I'd been to more funerals than any preacher I'd ever knew. Amen. And probably that's not the case. Some people have been in the ministry for a long, long time. But I knew about death, and I knew about the ways of sin. And I've got news for you. Once is enough. Once is enough. Understand what I'm saying? Born once, die twice. I'm glad I'm not going to have to worry about dying twice. Now, I got an appointment with death, same as you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, as it is appointed unto man, once to die, but after the judgment. So we got an appointment, and the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God, and things like that, and we're gonna. I hope he's your God. I hope he's your Savior, not your judge. Amen. But you don't have an appointment. If you're saved here tonight, you do not have an appointment with the second death. And that first death, however it comes, I'm praying for sleep, you know, in my sleep. Or maybe standing in the pulpit. Wouldn't that be weird, though, for everybody else? Amen. I actually know a preacher that died standing in the pulpit. Amen. But I'll tell you what, however it comes, whether it's gruesome and awful and painful, the first death is still no comparison to the second one. Amen? The second one never ends. It's eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish. That's not talking about physical death. And so how do you know? You preachers just twisting it. No, because then it goes on to say, should not perish, but have what kind? Everlasting life. The context is eternity. You live forever. You die forever. And it all hinges on what you do with Jesus Christ. Amen? And if you've done the right thing with Jesus Christ, and that's moving from here to here, you have no worry about the second death. Amen. And it said there in the verse there in Hebrews chapter 9, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after there's the judgment. And you got an appointment with judgment, believer. But it ain't going to be judgment for sin. That was taken care of. That was taken care of the day you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your sin. Amen. We're talking about getting out of the sinning business. I'm happy to report it can be done, and it ought to be good news, a good start to just emphasize the fact that you don't have to worry about the penalty of sin anymore. Now your judgment concerns your conduct as a child of God. Judgment seat of Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, whether it be good or bad. So you can be saved. Amen. Eternally secure. But if your conduct is bad, amen, it won't be good at that judgment. I'm just trying to encourage you. And you're gonna have to, I'm not gonna go down a list of all the possible things that a Christian can do because we don't have time. Amen. But I'm gonna try to provoke you to examine your own heart. And we live in a day and age where the battlefield's right here. Amen. Even if you can somehow keep that flesh out of places it shouldn't go, the battle's right there. Amen. And if you'll be honest with yourself during the course of this message, I pray you make a place and talk to God and get with God, because you ain't never going to win that battle on your own. Why? Because it's spiritual. Amen. It's time to get out of sin business. Anybody agree with me on that? Amen. All right. So number one, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, you have not been delivered from the presence of sin. Take your Bible, go to Galatians chapter 1. Not as long as you're living. Galatians chapter 1. Verse number 3, the Bible says this: Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. This present evil world literally is where we live today. Right now. First John, go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, John said this: Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen? When you start talking about, let me go there, love of the world. It doesn't say God doesn't love you anymore. It doesn't imply you're going to lose your salvation. But if you love the world, you'll never have the love for God that you're supposed to have. Amen? Where did I say go? 1 John chapter 2. Okay, maybe I should go there too. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 16. It said, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and hath lust thereof, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth, the will of God abideth forever. So we're talking about the presence of sin in this present evil world. For some people, amen, the problem is the lust of the eyes. All right, let's go with the first one, lust of the flesh. Amen. That's why it says in Colossians chapter 3, I think it's verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. It ain't going to happen by itself. It's not going to happen if you don't make a point. Your flesh doesn't want to set its affections on things it can't see. Things, it isn't interested in laying up treasure in heaven. It's interested in laying up treasure somewhere else. And if you're ever going to keep that flesh under control, the admonishment that Paul gives us in Colossians 3 is that we're going to have to do what we got to do to set our affection on things above. That means you're going to have to figure out how to fall in love with Jesus Christ even more than you claim to be right now. And maybe you do that by talking to him more, by reading his Bible more, by surrendering and submitting yourself to him more. Amen. But that's the only thing you got to keep this flesh in line. Amen. For some, it's the lust of the eyes. And boy, I tell you, you think the media age is some just coincidental evolution of technology? Buddy, the devil has had that ball rolling for quite a while now, and look where we are now. I was in the chiropractor waiting room last Thursday, and I'm in there. Everybody in there, I'd say, is over 40, and there was one lady in there probably in her 60s, and me, five people and me. And everybody, I'm just waiting, you know, I'm looking around, I'm sticking tracks in magazines. And everybody in there, man, from the minute they checked in, sat down, never even looked up from their phone. One person walked out, a nurse walked out and called a name. Nobody budged, you know. I'm looking around. Oh, it's me. It's me. I'm going to tell you what that thing is. It ain't just kids, brother, sister. That thing is taken over. People step out in front of traffic in Manhattan staring at their phone. That's a dumb thing to do if you are paying attention. Amen. And I'm just looking around. It's easy to get illustrations this day and age we live. Because, amen, the influence of sin is everywhere. Lust of the eyes, it says. Well, I guess we could put the lust of the ears in there, and I'm not correcting the Bible. I didn't put that in there. Why do you say that, Brother Spurgeon? Because how many times do you go places and people, earbuds, people got things in their ears. What are they? They got stuff on their phone. I don't know how to do all that. I don't even want to know. Amen. But people, I mean, cars honk, people yell, people, they don't hear. You talk to somebody, they don't, you know what I mean? We're just feeding the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Amen. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. And buddy, there's an onslaught. But I'm going to tell you what, maybe you've been saved a while. Maybe you got some victory over those things, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. But I'll tell you something else, your problem may just very well be, and I've seen it over and over again, and I fight it. I see it in preachers. I see it in Christians. Your problem might be the pride of life. It says this in Proverbs 21 and verse 4, an high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. That puts pride right up there with people that are going out early in the morning with no other intention but to sin, the plowing. We got any farmers in here? That's work. There's people that work at sin. Right. Not me, but look at me. At least I'm not like him. You're right there. Luke 18, you're right there. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I can't see what kind of heart you got. I can be fooled, especially I get to know people over a period of 20 years. Now I've spent, almost half a year here. Amen. But I don't, you can fool me. Amen. But you can't fool God. God knows every single detail. I think we forget that. I want to remind you something. In Luke 18 and 14, talking about that Pharisee, he says, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That's the pride of life. That's your danger. The more victory you get, the stinking prouder you get. That book says before honor is humility. And the key to being a vessel meet for the master's use, which is what you ought to strive for. The key to being used of God in any capacity is to remain humble. And your flesh isn't interested in that at all. Your flesh wants to brag about your accomplishments, even save people. Amen. Beloved, let me tell you something tonight. As you go to 1 Corinthians 10, you have not. You may be saved, delivered from the penalty of sin. I hope everyone is. But you have not been delivered from the presence of sin. Let me prove it to you with another verse. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, Paul's writing to Christians. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. You're not alone. You think, oh, woe is me. No one else has ever been there. Yeah, they have. Yeah, they have, Elijah. Yeah, they have. Amen. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Let me tell you something. The temptation to sin is common to every single one of us. Why? Because of the flesh. The flesh isn't saved. Your flesh isn't saved. Young people, old people, Christian people, flesh is not saved. That's why you got to make a point to get out and then stay out of the sinning business. Amen. The verse there, it says in James 1, let me read this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, the God of this world is working overtime to make sure that we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Because there's part of us that likes it. And there's part of us that don't. And it's up to you which one you feed. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13 went on to say, but God is faithful. Yeah, we're tempted. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, we mess up. That's just part of it. We do. But let me tell you something. You may need to admit you didn't resist. But you're never going to be able to say you couldn't have. Because God is not a liar, and God does not set us up to fail. God sets us up to succeed, and it says he will make a way to escape. So you better get out of the blaming business and take the blame yourself. It says in James chapter 4 and 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him and his sin. Pastors spend a lot of time, believe me, my job is to work with pastors. They're shepherds. Would that be accurate? And I'm like a sheepdog. Sheepdog barks and, you know, growls and tries to help the shepherd keep the sheep in line. That's what I do. Week in, week out, I work with pastors. And I'll tell you what I know. Pastors spend a whole lot of time dealing with people that are not struggling with knowing what's right. They're struggling with doing what's right. Let me tell you something. Ignorance is one thing. Ignoring, you get sound Bible preaching and teaching here. You ignore it, that's not forgivable. God will forgive it, but that's not the same as being ignorant. Amen? You need to understand something. If you're not doing right, and you know, maybe you got something going on and the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness to it, and it's not something real blatant or obvious, you know, but you may have some character thing going on and maybe social media involved, and maybe the Holy Spirit will show you, you know, that's a problem. And that's causing you to either waste time or whatever. The list could get long. But if the Holy Spirit, that's what the purpose of a meeting like this is. If the Holy Spirit showed you something, they say, oh God, I never saw it before. I want to get it right. You better approach every church service with that attitude. Because if you're not doing right and you know how to, you're in the sinning business. And I'm just saying, it's time to get out. God wants you to get out. Now, if you're saved, you've been delivered from the penalty of sin. But sadly, you and me and everybody else is still tempted by the presence of sin. And what we need to do is get free from the power of sin. So let me help you get out of the sin and business. This is what works for me. I didn't say worked. I mean works. I mean, this is all the time, right? This is not a done deal. Oh, I got sin. I got saved. My sins are forgiven, and now I just go on my merry way. You're an idiot. You're not reading your Bible. You're not paying attention. You're Googling the wrong moron. And there's them guys out there. Amen. Let me go to Psalm 51. Here's a psalm written by a guy that loved God, was used of God. I don't doubt that you do or did. Or do, yeah, do. But sin is, I mean, it's ever present. Psalm 51 and verse 1, David writes this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. That is a good way to start a prayer. Amen. Acknowledging God as being loving, loving, his loving kindness and his multitude of tender mercies. Amen. David is, he wants something, and here's what he wants. He wants God to blot out his transgressions. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly. It's not the same word. Some people don't seem to understand that. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's taking the blame. He can do it too. It says in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It's not an unreasonable request. Only he doesn't know about 1 John, but he knows the guy that wrote it. He knows the Spirit of God that put it in there. He knows where to go. It's called the throne of grace. And he goes there and he's asking God. It says in verse 3, here's the key. For I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. If you're ever going to get out of the sin and business, you're going to have to acknowledge your transgressions. And to do that seriously, you're going to have to quit blaming others or circumstance. Lose the victim mentality. You already said that yesterday. I might say it again tomorrow because I'm seeing it. It's so prevalent in the day and age in which we live. That wasn't even an acceptable mentality when I was a kid. that you'll find somebody to blame. You address a problem and you try to fix it. You get help. Now we live in a day and age where, I don't even want to start saying what's in my mind because who knows. But, there might be somebody like that in here. I hope you get some help. And I don't mean professional help. I mean supernatural help. Amen. We can get right with God. The blueprint is in this Bible. Amen. I need you to understand something. Verse 4, is that against thee? Thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Amen. You can't get mercy unless you admit guilt. Yeah, convict goes before a judge. He's hoping for mercy. It's because he's acknowledged that he's guilty. Amen. As long as you're going, I'm not guilty. Why would you get mercy? Amen. You can just hash it out in court. That's a losing proposition in the court of God. You need to understand this. And according to the Bible, according to verses that we just read, your sin's not against your spouse or your parent. It's against your Creator. That's what he's saying. He's talking right to God. Your private, secret sins are not private or secret to God. I heard an old man of God, there's that word coming up again, say this one time. He said, some of you need to get some things right with God while it's still just between you and him, while he's dealing with your heart through preaching or the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you keep putting it off, and you keep thinking you're getting away from something, and you keep putting it off, and you're going to force God to reveal it. You're going to force God to reveal it to the last person in the world you want to know. Amen. Whether that's your spouse, or your parents, or your pastor. Why would you do that? Why would you force God? He's going to deal with sin. He has to. But he's long-suffering and he's merciful. And he gives us chance after chance. And we let it go in one ear and out the other. And instead of moving toward him, we're out in the parking lot going, thought he'd never stop. And that's the spirit in the churches these days. And I know I'm not preaching to everybody, but if this helps one person, my job's been accomplished. Right? The result of really getting a hold of the things I've said, that your sin is between you and God, will result in this. Verse 10, we're in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. If you and I could just make up our mind, bless God, with God's help, to get out of the sin of business, maybe God would restore, I guarantee you will. He'll restore the joy that you once had, the joy of your salvation. It's the joy of the Lord that makes life manageable. I mean, the Christian walk, man, is a rough road just like every other road. But the joy of the Lord being your strength makes it bearable. Amen? Sin robs you of all that. Sin robs you of your spiritual strength. And I personally think it's good news that we can get our joy back. But we're going to have to humble ourselves before God. Amen. And admit, sin won that time. And it does. But there's a formula to get that thing right. Here's how you do it. Here's how you get that thing taken care of. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I'm going to give you my advice. You and the Lord, you need to have a little talk. If you're saved, you've got access. Amen. You and him need to have a little talk. And you need to get honest with him. You need to get honest with yourself. Quit trying to con him. Amen. Like you're doing other people. Just say, God, you know the deal. I need your help. He knows that. Acknowledge your sin. Ask for mercy. Then pray. Create in me a clean heart. I got a dirty heart. It got dirty with the things I'm looking at. It got dirty by some of the things I'm listening to. Sometimes listening to is the wrong people. Some of them are even saved people. You understand that gossip isn't just the talker, but it's the listener, amen, too? Amen. They're both a sin. Amen? Say, God, just be honest with yourself. Maybe you need to just admit to God, your heart's got a little dirty from some of the conduct that you've engaged. Not that you don't still love Jesus. I'm not saying that. This is work. There's effort put into walking with God to be a vessel meet for the master's use. And the first thing you got to do, like, you know, you get cleaned up to go to church, I hope, if you can. You got to get cleaned up to live for God. And it's your heart that needs cleaned. Amen. Create a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Somebody say, well, are you sure that'll work? I guarantee it'll work. It'll work every time. It says in verse 17 there in Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Say, are you sure? Yeah, I just told you why. It says so. That book's never been wrong. Amen. What do you think? You so stinking proud, you think you're going to be the exception to the word of God? No, you're not. No, you're not. You're just going to fall victim to its consequences if you choose to ignore it. Amen. Why would you do that? You're in a church where people are trying to do right and encourage each other to do right. You're in a church with a pastor and other men of God that are trying to preach you the Bible. Nobody's being loaded up and lorded over to try to accomplish some kind of status symbol in the world of churchiosity, whatever, if that's a word. You just got people that believe that book and open that book and believe that if we'll go by the book, not only will it, we have an increase exponentially. I couldn't spell that word, but I like it. I don't even know if I said it right, but I don't even remember why I said it, but we live in a time where it's more important to get closer to God than ever. And we can. I'm here to tell you, you can leave here with a cleaner heart you came in with. Now, I know this might not apply to everybody, but it applied to somebody. I know that much. I can tell that much when I'm preaching. What kind of liberty I have. So if that's you, I pray you do something about it. Amen. And you can break free from the power of sin. And you know what the blessing about that is? Psalm 51, look at me in verse 13. I'll be done. Then, this is after that, getting real and getting right and confessing to God and asking God to do what you can't do yourself. Quit trying to do it yourself. Quit trying to create a clean heart. You can't create nothing but a mess. Amen? Quit trying to fake the right spirit because it doesn't take much of a stimulus to kick that old spirit right back in. That's why some Christians, don't play games. Why are you playing games? God will help you. Amen. Yeah, man, I don't have the energy to play the games some Christians are playing. I'm sorry. And he goes, I know you are. You're very sorry, but I'm glad you're sorry. You follow me? Yeah. All right, one person did. Look at verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. God will actually use sinner like you. And let me tell you something. You work with, live near, know somebody that will probably never hear my voice or Pastor Kenny or Pastor Lego. God will use you. Amen. To teach sinners his way. And then I love what it says, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Remember how cool that was when you got converted? If you are. Remember how cool it is when people get saved? We don't see it much, but we see it, you know, we see it once in a while. It don't take much to float my boat. One sinner living forever, that'll do it. And God might use you to reach people that I'll never reach. Amen? Time to get out of the sinning business. Get back in the Father's business. Let's all stand. Now, if you're not saved here tonight, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about getting out of the sinning business. You need to worry about getting saved. You need to worry about getting your sins forgiven. You need to worry about getting born again. You can get born again. Save me in a jail cell. Amen. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know as much as you know. I'd have never been in church on a Monday night. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are fighting things you don't need to fight. Some of you have stress and strain in your life that you know how to deal with it. Your flesh just hasn't let you. Why don't you put your flesh in its place and get right with God? Amen. If you're not saved here tonight, we'd love to open a Bible. Show you how easy it is. Jesus did all the heavy lifting there. And it was heavy lifting. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me tell you something. You and me cannot even begin to comprehend that. And I wish it wouldn't have took that. But he went to the cross to make forgiveness available. If you're not saved, you're not sure, if you're not saved, man, don't pass it up. Let one of us answer a question. You listen to what the pastor has to say. Let's do something for God. Amen?